With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. This week's show is massive. We are going to preview the Royal Rumble. We're going to give you our predictions. We're going to look at the latest going on with the brand new promotion, AEW. We're also going to hear from WWE superstar and United States champion Rusev and look at loads of independent wrestling as well. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. I'm John Jackson, we've got Will Gavin and Alex McCarthy as well. And as ever, we're going to bring you the latest news on everything going on in the independent scene across the UK. A lot of people enjoying progress last week. We're also going to look at AEW and the latest rumours of names that are linked to the brand new promotion. And we're also going to talk about SmackDown Raw 205 Live, which we've seen from WWE this week. As ever, you can get in touch at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram as well. And make sure you check out all the videos of all the interviews you hear on this show on our YouTube channel. Just search Pro Wrestling Show.
Delightful.
Well done, Johnny.
First of all, we just need to talk about Skype and Alex McCarthy's Skype.
It's riddled. Matt riddled.
The time as of now is 12:37. We were due to start recording this podcast at 11:30. Why are we starting over an hour late, Al Mac?
There's numerous factors, William, as to how this came to be. I mean, my slow Mac and my spamming
That's
email
your new
account.
Nickname, slow Mac. Yeah.
From now on, you are slow Mac. We had somebody actually get in touch on Twitter asking Chris. Now that you're a trio, can we expect a new photoshopped profile picture?
It's what the fans want.
I'm all for it as well, but the woman who made our original Photoshop is currently on holiday and I don't want to disturb her during her personal time. So if there is anyone out there who would like to take our logo and Photoshop Al Mac's little face in the middle, maybe like popping out of the logo, then make that happen. But or just let us know and we'll send you all the required materials.
The assets.
It will happen. It will happen. Don't worry, buddy.
Spike Dudley will make it. I know he will.
I don't think we can do the Dudley Boys because there's a bit of an issue with one of me and Will, I think. I'm not entirely sure we'd Photoshop very well.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah, no, we'll have to think of another one.
We don't both wear glasses, that's the problem.
What about the brood?
I want to be Gangrel.
We've got the same issue. We've definitely got the same issue.
Oh, let's get started with this week's news then. Will...
Am I on news duty? I thought I should be told I was on news duty.
I'm just pointing in the direction of you. It's a little bit hard when we're doing this on Skype. The Undertaker for the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Yeah, this was an email that was sent out by WWE, where it was an email they were sending out, plugging various live shows, etc. And then they referred to The Undertaker as WWE Hall of Fame inductee for 2019, The Undertaker, and then very, very, very quickly removed it, but did not remove it quickly enough. Until people had already spotted it and screenshotted it and posted it online. So they may well have spoilt the fact that The Undertaker is going to be the headline act for this year's Hall of Fame. I'd be intrigued to find out, because generally they don't put active wrestlers in there. So is this going to be an indication that he's actually finally retiring? Are we going to see him have a match at Mania despite the fact he's going into the Hall of Fame? So there's plenty of intrigue with it.
Who do you think would induct him into the Hall of Fame? Would it be his brother?
It's funny you say about the Hall of Fame. I believe Ric Flair was inducted the night before Shawn Michaels retired him. So,
oh, was it?
Yeah, so I believe that it's obviously it's plausible the Undertaker could do it that way and have a final swan song. As for inductee, probably Kane, I guess. Like, it would actually be big enough for Vince McMahon to come out and do it. Whether he would break that rule and do it, I don't know. But there's no other obvious candidates because, of course, sadly, Paul Bearer is no longer with us. I really can't look past Kane. I don't know how you two guys feel about that.
I wonder whether he's the greatest big man in WWE history. That was my thinking when I saw this, because I was trying to think who you'd have above him, basically. But yeah, I'm with you. I think you could have essentially anyone could come and do it, but I think Kane would probably be the obvious choice. But you know, why, like Mick Foley could come and easily do it. They had so many great matches.
Shawn Michaels
for the same reason. Yeah, exactly. So it could be, you could take any existing Hall of Famer who had matches with The Undertaker and probably give them an opportunity at doing the induction. So yeah, I think there are plenty of options.
I think he's the greatest character of all time. That's like that. I think that's pretty much undisputable, and that might be why a Vince McMahon or someone, you know, Triple H even perhaps, after their series of matches and how long they go back, might do it. But it would make more sense for Kane, I guess. Yeah, but I don't know. What do you think, John?
I mean, I would go for Kane just because of
the mayor of Knoxville.
You know, I don't want Glenn Jacobs rocking up. Imagine you book Kane and you get Glenn Jacobs. That would be an absolute killer, wouldn't it? I think surely they will go with Kane. Maybe Kane and Vince McMahon. I don't know.
So who would they have Undertaker face in his final match then?
Would he put over someone? Is that his thing?
I think it probably would be his thing. You know, he's all about the business, isn't he, and how it works. And there's obviously the famous story of him telling Shawn Michaels to do business before his WrestleMania clash with Austin, whether that's true or not. But, I mean, it'd be very hard because he should put someone over on the way out. Or do you make it a bit like the Brothers of Destruction and DX thing at Crown Jewel, where it's a nostalgia and all of this stuff? You know, for me personally, I'm not saying it should be like Aleister Black, that's just a name that comes to mind, but someone like that who could do with the right rub would probably be my preferred option. But you've got to build it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone that stands out to me as the obvious up-and-comer. Mustafa Ali, that's the person they're giving the hardest out-of-nowhere push to right now. So there we go. That's going to be my shout.
Well, look, someone who's...
they're all laughing at me.
Someone who's not apparently going to retire now is Matt Hardy. We thought he'd retired at a really random house show somewhere I've never heard of. And then someone's tweeted in this week, which everyone's picked up on, saying about, didn't you retire? And he said, no, I'm not retired. I'm not going to be retiring anytime soon. I've worked my ass off to rehabilitate and have physically been green-lit. My body's in the best shape it's been in years, and I'm the lightest I've been in 20 years. Is that a surprise? I thought he was done. I thought he was edged.
Yeah, I mean, my kind of feeling on it was not that he was done, but it was probably time as well. They had their big nostalgia pop, they came back, they got the titles, went on a little singles run. We managed to see a bit of the Broken Universe in the WWE, which was a bit of fun. But yeah, I don't see what there is for him to do coming back. But then I was pretty negative on Rey Mysterio coming back again, because I thought that he was past the point where, when you get high flying wrestlers and they try to continue to later in their career, it's very rare that you get somebody who can adapt in the right way. It's very rare you get someone like Chris Jericho who just totally gets the psychology so much that he can completely change his working style out in New Japan and it completely works. But actually, Rey Mysterio has come back and proven that with these recent run of matches with Andrade that he is still an unbelievable performer. And I think he's had his best few weeks, if not a couple of months, in WWE in close to a decade. So Matt Hardy in theory could come back and do it. I don't see it, but you know, their roster's pretty deep. That's the other thing. And we're hearing more about more NXT call-ups and stuff. Like, they're actually, if there's any time they can bleed some wrestlers off to AEW, it's probably now. AEW, whatever it's called.
AWE.
Like
all that. Wrestling Elite. It works.
You could have done that. Maybe you can start. How much, you know, they've got £100 million or $100 million, I think it is, to start their promotion. How much would your promotion all have, Will?
How much have we got in the coffers right now? I've got about $67 and a £10 note. So
£10, I think it's Sears voucher, which I don't know if I can use anymore, because I think Sears has gone into administration, so I can't bring anything to the table. Al?
Yeah, I've got two kids bleeding me dry. If anything, I'm negative, so...
You're in negative equity because yes. of your desire to have a family and a life.
Well, yeah.
Will, you just mentioned the new Performance Centre stars. Do you want? I'm not aware of most of these. I think you're going to be the best person to talk about them.
Yeah, so the, a list of new names coming through. A few TNA stars. Trevor Lee, former X Division champion at Impact. You've got Sam Shaw, who won TNA's Gut Check. But those are kind of... Trevor Lee's been around a while, so he's less developmental. Jonah Rock. I think we've seen Jonah Rock before live, haven't we, John? He's a big, bruising Islander fella. I'm interested in him. Nick Komoroto, who's the Monster Factory heavyweight champion, who's a 6'3", weighs nearly 300 pounds, is the classic kind of Vince McMahon muscle man. So
you mean like Chris Masters was once back in the day?
Exactly. The new Chris Masters. That's what we're calling Nick Komoroto. I'm sure he'll love that. The problem is they've announced this group, and it's an interesting class. There's a few interesting names in there. But as much as there's been all the speculation about whether Kenny Omega will come to WWE, Kushida, I'm pretty sure at this point, former junior heavyweight champion, is coming to NXT after his contract expires on January 31st. So I just wonder, why just even announce that the class of people coming in? Why not wait until February 1st, February 2nd, and announce the class with Kushida as a headliner, and then everyone gets excited about that, and it doesn't matter that the rest of it is interesting, if not a little underwhelming?
Might be wanting to keep it as a surprise, for all we know. Like, you know how much they like their takeover weekend specials and front row malarkey, but even so, if you know, to follow that up, not everyone has been debuted by, oh, they're entering the NXT class, have they?
I think Kushida's definitely going to NXT, but I don't think you're wrong about that. It's just the way they did the last one with Keith Lee, etc. They made a really big deal out of it. I thought that was the new thing, but apparently it's not the new thing.
You got to keep some element of surprise of these things. You can't just do the same each time.
On the NXT call-ups, NXT Euro, all that stuff, we're going to be doing not only a Rumble preview, but a TakeOver preview coming up. They announced the wrestlers taking part in the World's Collide Tournament, which is the... they're going to do a 15 superstar battle royal and then a tournament, which will see one, whoever wins the tournament will get a crack at their respective title. So it's NXT, NXT UK and 205 Live. The list is exactly the kind of names you'd expect from NXT UK. You've got Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, Zach Gibson, 205, Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, TJP, Humberto Carrillo. Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Keith Lee, Shane Thorne. But what was interesting is Dominik Dijakovic, I think they're calling him now, was originally announced and then has since been replaced. So I don't know what's happening there. Well, no, they said he was going to be replaced.
Hang on.
But
hang
my
on.
List has him on there.
I've looked into it, Will. It was actually Otis Dozovic who was replaced.
Oh. I saw it got mixed
up with the Eastern European names.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened.
Interestingly, Dominik Dijakovic, we've seen him in Progress, haven't we? Didn't he turn up at Progress one time?
He's great. He is great. I really think he's got a really big future in NXT. There were rumours that... I've just messed this up, so I'm going to shut up.
Have you just tapped out of your own conversation?
Yeah, that's what's happened.
Well, that's gonna be good. There's some good names in there. If someone from NXT UK won this title opportunity out of Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, and Zach Gibson, who would we say it might be?
I don't think Tyler needs it. Although I'd quite like to see him go far. Zach Gibson's already had his tournament win and is a tag team champion. I mean, how much are they really gonna chuck his way? Jordan Devlin's an interesting shout there, and Mark Andrews, and who was the other one that we had there?
Travis Banks.
I'm a big Travis Banks guy, so I wouldn't actually mind seeing that one happen.
I would always go with Devlin after going against Finn Balor on the network takeover special thing, you know.
I wouldn't mind that at all. But you look at NXT as well. I see Velveteen Dream. It must be all a work. This they need to utilize me, or he's not going to appear on NXT until we appreciate his true value. I think is the line. For him to win this tournament kind of negates that. So it seems a bit strange. Like he obviously, it seems like he's almost pandering for a main roster call-up, but obviously it's in the eyes of WWE, it seems like foreshadowing. Adam Cole doesn't need to win that tournament either. He's already a big star, in my opinion, and probably destined to for main roster after WrestleMania. So maybe it will be NXT UK. I can't see it being any of the 205 Live guys, so I don't know.
The thing is, these kind of access type events, they will often throw up a title opportunity for somebody. I wouldn't be that surprised if it was like Mark Andrews or Jordan Devlin or someone, and then they got their title opportunity on the next TV tapings and didn't win it, but it's a, you know, it's a... it's not a pay-per-view level kind of gimmick. It's not winning King of the Ring. It's winning a localized event to Royal Rumble weekend. So yeah. I don't think it's too big an issue if it's not one of the big names on the list, as it were. Or even if you gave it to Adam Cole or someone and gave him a shot on TV and then you get interference and it's all a bit of a mess and a work, then there's plenty of different opportunities.
It does air on the WWE Network, doesn't it? It's a network special, Worlds Collide, taped for WWE Network special.
Oh,
excellent.
So we will wear to see that. Well, look, we talked about people joining WWE. That ties in very nicely with a little update on people who might potentially leave WWE. Again, Will, you text me in the week saying Dolph Ziggler, ?
So Ziggler, not backstage for Raw last night, although he is apparently scheduled to work some weekend live events. I think it's going to be fascinating to see if he's involved in some way in the Rumble this weekend. But if you go to his Twitter, he no longer references, he's now known as Nick Namath. He has a pro wrestling tees store now, with Namath Bros t-shirts and Heel Crew t-shirts. He does still list himself as former WWE World Heavyweight Champion brackets again in there, but all of his tweets are only about his stand-up, etc. It does feel like there's a distancing of himself away from the WWE product. There was some talk about him, whether or not he would move. There was a production role apparently potentially in the conversation, but I mean, he is the sort of guy who could go to somewhere like AEW and headline events. You know, imagine like Ziggler against Hangman Page and Pac and stuff like that. Like, they could put on some great matches. So if there is anyone that seems most likely to leave of all the rumours, other than the Revival, who it sounds like they might be reversing on that after they've been making jokes about it on Instagram, etc., then, yeah, I kind of think that he's the obvious choice.
We spoke to him at WrestleMania last year, didn't we? And he kind of suggested, you know, he was obviously very much in character and keeping a lot close to his chest, but he did suggest there was stuff coming up for him. And obviously he got a bit of a push with Drew McIntyre towards the end of last year. But I think if people were discussing contract situations, and I appreciate not everyone knows the full contract situation of any of these superstars, really. If it was talk around WrestleMania last year, then, you know, it's potentially, maybe it's coming up this year. He might have signed a new one-year deal or something like that. So in terms of the contractual stuff, that might tie in quite nicely with him leaving. I think he'd do really well in AEW. He would be, you know, such a top. You could have him against Jericho as a bit of a kind of two fingers up to WWE a little bit, in a way, which would be quite cool. Any other people on the roster, we think? I saw Sasha Banks sort of played along with the Revival and then possibly deleted it or regretted it. Did you see that?
Well, Dave Meltzer did weigh in on that one with Sasha, didn't he? And he did say that he's heard rumblings, for what Dave Meltzer's worth, of her being unhappy with her position. And that's something that's very understandable when you look at the last 12 months and where she's been, as we've mentioned on the prior podcast when we had her. No one-on-one title match since August 2017, prior to this Royal Rumble date with Ronda Rousey. And with all the moving parts and Evolution and all of these things, and she's been kind of lost in these six women tags, that's very easy to believe that she would be frustrated. And according to Meltzer, that this Rousey matchup is as a result of that. Like, although it would seem to the knowledgeable fan that she seems like the easy choice because you know she's not going to beat Rousey, but she's probably got the biggest star power on Raw when you look at it individually. So the matchup makes itself, really. But according to Meltzer, a lot of it has been to placate Banks. If she went to AEW, she'd be ridiculous top star. You'd be easily their top woman draw. I don't see her going, though, personally, when I look at the tag team women's titles coming up and all of these things. I think she wants to be a part of it. So I don't buy Sasha Banks wants out.
Maybe something further down the line for her.
Yes.
Work out that way. Well, look, while we're talking about AEW, not AWE, Will's terrible spin-off promotion. Kenny Omega.
All Will Elite.
We're all Will Elite. Oh, dear. We are, how many? 7 or 8 days away from Kenny Omega's contract expiring at the end of January. Do we think we're still going to get an announcement for him to be in AEW?
Yeah. I think that's definitely the direction it's going. There's a TSN, the Toronto Sports Network, have announced they've put together a 1-hour documentary called The Omega Man, a wrestling love story, which will air in Canada at the end of March, featuring his past several months in New Japan. So I think it's kind of could end up being the perfect bullet point, the perfect fight bullet point. That was almost clever if I thought about it in advance on his time there and then moving on to his new career. They had the New Japan, they're not actually the official New Japan Awards, they're the Tokyo Sports Magazine Awards, but they are kind of seen as the equivalent of, I don't know, the Slammies, I guess, for wrestling. And he didn't win the MVP, which apparently he was a bit annoyed about. Hiroshi Tanahashi won that, but he did for the second year win the Bouts of the Year for his Dominion matchup with Okada. Otherwise, Tetsuya Naito won the Technique Award. Maro Fuji won the Outstanding Performance Award. So all kind of people you would expect. But yeah, I think Omega's done in Japan. I really do. I think he's going to come over here and prove himself in front of the home crowd, as it were. And
in London.
AEW is the obvious place. Yes, here. Yes, because he's famously from London, John.
He's going to come over to the southwest London area and perform for All Will Elite. And your tagline, of course, now is "That was almost funny." No, what was it? Almost clever.
Almost clever. Yeah.
What did we hear anything about CM Punk? I know that on Chris Jericho's podcast with I can't remember his name. It's that fella that he interviewed him in the back of Chris Jericho's car because he got mobbed by fans. So they just did it in Jericho's limo, and they were talking about CM Punk and whether he would come to AEW, and sort of Jericho laughed it off, really. And said that he didn't really know where that come from. Have we heard any more about that? I've seen some people mention it online.
Well, the only thing is that sent the nerds absolutely reeling was because CM Punk, there was a shirt that was being advertised by Redbubble, and they essentially got a cease and desist order from Pro Wrestling Tees to say, can you stop selling this likeness? We have the exclusive rights to this likeness. But the subject matter of the email said All Elite Wrestling, comma, Pro Wrestling Tees, or the subject of the legal paperwork or whatever. I think all this means is that Pro Wrestling Tees and All Elite Wrestling are clearly becoming part of the same umbrella because of how much, you know, they made vast sums of money off Matt and Nick Jackson and will continue to do so. But there are people going, oh, does this mean that All Elite Wrestling have got this copyright now? Oh my God, CM Punk's... The nerds have lost their minds. I don't think CM Punk ever wrestles again. So at some point, it'd be nice that we don't have to talk about this anymore.
Does CM Punk ever do UFC again? Just off a slight tangent.
No, he might. Maybe he does commentary or something, or you know, again, which would even be more laughable with him giving his expert analysis of what's going on. But no, I don't see that happening. He's obviously under contract with UFC still. What they intend to do with him is anybody's guess. But there's no conceivable way Dana White, in his right mind, says, let's have a look at CM Punk and the Octagon again. Who do you pair him with? They've paired him with what they thought was a similar fight last time out. The first fight was against someone who was also, I think it was their second fight. So he's He can't make it any easier for CM Punk, right? There is no place for him in the UFC. And by that token, CM Punk appears to have zero motivation to get back into the squared circle either. And if there was ever going to be a place, surely it would actually be All Elite Wrestling. And that's not wishful thinking. That's just away from the WWE machine with some of his friends and, you know, what could be guaranteed is good money on a lighter schedule. So it would make all the sense in the world if that's what he wanted, but the fact is we're not going to know what he wants until his contract with UFC is done.
It's a bit like Usain Bolt. Just give it up, mate. You're not going to be a footballer. I know now given it up, you know.
Two goals, two wins, two games, Usain Bolt, gone. It's a good record.
Apparently, I heard someone talking on the radio on TalkSport yesterday. I think it was Goffey, and he was saying that people who'd actually watched him in training said he couldn't trap the ball. That every time he scored in training, it was just bouncing off him, just because he was in the boxes quicker than anyone else, and it was just kind of laughable. I don't think CM Punk was quite that bad at UFC, but I like that comparison. Any more news for the news section? This is now a thing. That seems to be a thing that we now have a news section in this.
We're all correspondents, John. That's what we are.
Top wrestling journos, mate. Shall we? While we're putting a new format into the show, shall we do the indie roundup?
Go on then. Have you got the jingle?
There is no jingle. There is no music. There will be a jingle and music coming up, I'm sure. If anyone would like to provide it, then please do so. I have an exclusive update.
Ooh.
Here we go. See, we are journalists. Breaking news. We had a tweet from Jamie Hutchins saying, "Went to Progress Chapter 83. That was this past weekend. Fantastic show, top to bottom. Even with the unfortunate ending to the main event. The main event, which saw the Swords of Essex putting the tag team title up against CCK. Guess who got injured? Not a surprise, really, at this point anymore. Kid Lykos. Although all this nonsense on Twitter, as Jamie says about it, it's because of his wrestling style. He's hurting himself. He's just been really, really unfortunate. Dislocated his shoulder, ended up kind of distracting from the end of the match, which they did finish off. I was texting with Glenn from Progress on Sunday night because he was watching the NFL.
When aren't you texting with Glenn, Will?
Yeah.
Well, he was watching the NFL.
All talking about texting him.
they were, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go Meltzer and go, a high-profile source within the company? I asked him and he just said, there's no damage apart from the dislocation, which is, well, it looks like there's no damage apart from the dislocation itself, which would be the best case scenario. MRI later this week, they'll know more. But essentially, it looks like he's done no actual ligament or muscle damage. So Kid Lykos expected back quicker from this injury than from previous. But he has had a really rough kind of year and a half with these injuries, shoulder, arm, broken bones. It's just been so, so rough on him. So we wish him a speedy recovery, as per.
I had a few of my friends there and they said that it was because it was the main event that, and obviously they kind of, I guess they rushed to finish as soon as they could, that they were all kind of ushered out very, very quickly so that he could get attention. So it's quite lucky that it was because he was like clotheslined out of the ring into the crowd, which is probably not the best way to dislocate your shoulder in the world. So yeah, it sounds like a pretty horrific thing to have witnessed if you were there. But
would you like me to run down the rest of the shows, tickets, everything that you can get this week? This is where the music should kick in, but
yes.
Soon, sometime in the future. So Progress Chapter 83, first and foremost, spoilers for the next 30 seconds or so, but apparently a brilliant show, well worth checking out on Progress On Demand. Ilya Dragunov going over Timothy Thatcher was superb, apparently. Nina Samuels beating Laura DiMatteo. Do Not Resuscitate continue their big push. Drew Parker and Spike Trevay went over Eddie Dennis and Mark Haskins in a big weapon spot, crowd brawling. Apparently, Eddie Dennis did a razor's edge on Drew Parker into the fourth row, which looked absolutely insane. And Helico faced Jody Fleisch in a nice high flapping indeed. Aussie Open won the number one contendership match for the tag championship over the other half of Do Not Resuscitate, William Eva and Chuck Mambo. But apparently, the match of the night, Chris Ridgway continues his rise. He beat Shikiro Iri, who has won a lot of fans while doing a tour over here in the UK. But Ridgway is apparently in line for a shot at the Progress champion Walter coming up. So all this nonsense about WWE UK means that the UK Brit Rest indie scene is going to suffer. look at these people coming and grabbing their opportunities. The guys from Do Not Resuscitate, Spike Trevet did a brilliant promo about Jimmy Havoc on Twitter the other day. Those guys really rising and taking their opportunities by the scruff of the neck. So, yeah, it's rubbish. That's what it is, mate.
It's rubbish. We've seen this week, actually, Ilya Dragunov cancelled a lot of bookings with Defiant, which has led all the people online to speculate that he may be joining NXT UK or NXT Germany, if that, you know, that could come quicker than we think, maybe. Who knows? But, you know, even with that, even if you took him out of that lineup, it's still a really good event. And, you know, these people stepping up, as you say, are really good. And it's quite good to, I sort of follow a lot of the wrestlers who have their own schools, you know, like, for example, James Drake and Zach Gibson have their own school on Merseyside. And Sid Scala has his training school in North London. And it's really good to see a lot of those people that I've just kind of like casually seen training on their Instagram. And actually now they're in matches, and I can't remember what her name is. I think it's Jessica Light, I believe, mm-hmm. who has been training on Merseyside, is now having a sort of one of her sort of first main match against Isla Dawn in their promotion on Merseyside as part of that training school. And, you know, as you see, even the people who are involved with NXT UK are now training up the next generation of people. So it's a decent conveyor belt, I'd say.
100%. 100%. Right. I will actually now run down all the other shows that are going on, etc. So ICW have announced a bunch of matches for next weekend's show in the garage in Glasgow ahead of Square Go at the end of next month.
Are we going to go to that? I keep texting you guys and you don't reply to me, so I thought we'd do it on the podcast. I found flights, EasyJet sorting us right out. Can we go?
I'd like to go. My problem is that I can't really afford with my massive tax bill to be taking a Sunday night off work. So I will be making a decision on it maybe after I've spoken to the tax man today. But if I can still do my radio show from up there somehow, then I'm absolutely up for it. But
right. Your status subject to HMRC approval then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Al, what are you saying? I know you've got a family.
Yeah. What's the date?
Sunday the 24th. This is getting way too logistical for the podcast.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Al, you have a look at that in your calendar and we'll talk about it when the podcast is done.
Yes.
Right.
Good. So, Will, sorry, ICW.
Matches they've announced for Fight Club next weekend. Paul Robinson taking on Joe Coffey for the Zero G Championship. We also know that Aaron Echo is going to be going up against Red Lightning, which looks like a great matchup. Mark Coffey taking on Bad Boy Liam T. And also Jody Fleisch continuing his return, going up against Wolfie. Hopefully Wolfie's dad will be there. He is one of the best.
I love Wolfie's dad.
Hey,
that's my boy.
You can get tickets for Defiant's next show, which is a week on that Saturday, so 2 weeks away ish, a week and a half, something like that. Defiant Unstoppable, they've announced a few matches for this. Martin Kirby against El Fantasmo. Primate and Joe Hendry are going to be in action, so that looks like a cracker. Find that online. Attack have their first Bristol show of the year coming up a week on Sunday, and have announced that the tickets are now available. You can find that at Attack Wrestling online. And they've also posted a brilliant YouTube video, which is about No Fun Done and his 12 months in Attack Pro Wrestling, like a little mini documentary they've posted on their YouTube. And it is absolutely superb. So if you go to at Attack Wrestling on Twitter to find that. Rev Pro have a show coming up in Bristol this Sunday, including El Fantasmo against Will Ospreay, Matt McKinnon against Chris Brooks. You've got Chardonnay and Zoe Lucas against you and Sammy Jane. Great O'Connor against Shigeru Iri, if you want to get a chance to see him before he goes. So that looks like an absolutely superb show up in Bristol. Oh, and David Starr and Rob Lias have been announced to be facing Aussie Open as well. In fact, that's a really good show in Bristol coming this Sunday. If I wasn't flying to the States, I'd suggest you check that one out. Fight Club Pro, Wrestle House 19 is coming up, and they've announced the first couple of matches for this. This is Friday, the 1st of February. Walter is going to be taking on Dunkzilla, and you're also going to have Will Ospreay against Kyle Fletcher. So another couple of bangers there from Fight Club Pro. And that's all back off Project Tokyo, by the way, which the DVD and the online stream is going to be available coming up soon from Fight Club Pro, so keep an eye out for it. IPW have announced that PAC is returning to ICW. Pac is back in Canterbury. They've sold it as, which wasn't the return we were all waiting for necessarily. Okay. But on Wednesday, the 20th of February,
Charles. I had my first ever Wagamamas in Canterbury.
Well, Pac's back there now, so go check it out.
Having a ramen.
Eve Pro Wrestling have nearly sold out their next show, Global Women's Strike 2. Last year's event was amazing. Tony Storm going against Michael Satomura, which was brilliant. So that's on Saturday, February 9th. And finally, Tax Williams sent us a tweet. He says, I'll be in the commentary booth for Southeast Pro this Sunday for Light the Fuse at the Alex Center. Great card headlined by Meathead. Defending the SEPW title against Eddie Ryan. So the point is, there's loads of independent wrestling going on near you, so go and watch some.
If you're in Raynham and Essex as well on Saturday the 9th of February, Will Ospreay's promotion Frontline Pro are doing their next gen event, which has also got your man Erie and also Chris Ridgeway. So, you know, if you're in that area of the country, I think we've covered every part of the country in that.
Bristol has a hotbed apparently.
Oh, the Bristol show's unbelievable. I can't wait. I'm going to be flying. And then it's the Royal Rumble.
You're going to America, Will?
You're going as well.
Yeah, but I'm not banging on about it. By the way, when I searched for the ICW show, just to check that there were tickets still available if we do go, it says, if you like this, you might like that the fun-loving criminals are playing the Barrowlands on the 2nd of February. Why would watching hardcore wrestling suggest that I want to go and watch Huey Morgan and the gang do their one song?
They said you might.
Stick 'em up, punks. It's the fun-loving criminals. Supported by
a band called Drug Church, which sounds great. Can't wait for that. I have to go and see that. Good. Right, should we get on to SmackDown and Raw?
Yes.
Have either of you watched it?
Yes.
Yes.
I've seen
Don't lie, Alex.
Everything but the thing that's probably most important to see on SmackDown, and that's the 2 out of 3 falls match with Rey and Andrade. Oh, I have, of course, thanks to you two, seen the finish. But I'm looking forward to going and watching that match in detail because the chemistry between them two is quite literally off the charts. As Will said earlier, Rey Mysterio is having a renaissance of sorts. Very, very enjoyable. But I found SmackDown as a whole, the show, and I've always found this just far more digestible than Raw. And I find it more entertaining. And I don't know whether that's the 2-hour format or just the characters, or I can't really put my finger on it. I really dig the Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, the balance between them as, you know, as opposites now. I didn't think Vince McMahon added all that much, to be honest, in that segment, but I really...
I did like at one point where he hadn't spoken for about 2 minutes and then just went, I'm bored of this,
yes.
Get in the ring to Daniel Bryan. I was like, oh, I forgot Vince was even here.
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. Like, I was digging Daniel Bryan's tirade so much that I'd kind of lost sight of the fact that Vince is meant to be moderating the two.
I think Vince is also aware that if he appears on the show, it seems to do better in the TV ratings. And I think they need that at the moment. So even, as you say, him popping up there with a couple of comments, which adds to it kind of in a very small way in the moment, at least he's on that show and people will see pictures of Vince McMahon and go, oh yeah, it's Vince McMahon from that era when it was really hot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but staying with Vince, and I know we're kind of scattergun approach here. I don't know what you two felt, but I wasn't really all feeling his Finn Balor criticisms on Raw. I didn't really see how that was helping anything, coming out and making out that Finn Balor didn't stand a chance. I get the David and Goliath story, I understand it, but I thought it was really tired and a very unusual approach. Like, he's just beaten what Vince calls the greatest of all time last week, clean as a whistle, and then he decided to follow that up by essentially mocking his main, not his main event at the Royal Rumble, but it's, you know, the title match, quote unquote. I didn't really dig it so much. I didn't really get any of it until things got physical, if I'm honest, in that opening segment.
Is this more? Yeah. Go on, Will.
I was going to say, I thought it was the weaker of the two shows' opening segments because yet again SmackDown made the right choice and put the women on first, which they've been doing pretty consistently recently, and it led to a really great opening segment involving Becky and Asuka and Charlotte coming out and everything that you kind of wanted from that.
Yeah.
I do like this new thing that they're doing where when one segment finishes, rather than fading to black and going to the ad break with like it focusing on someone's face, that the next match the music hits and like they start coming out already before the segment's really finished. It's like, I guess, trying to make more of a flow to the live show, but I quite liked it. I think it's quite a nice little change, a little bit of difference. I do. I am with you. I think that it only works if they were planning to put Finn Balor over on Sunday.
And we know they're not.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I just, that's what was kind of surprising to me about it. I don't see why McMahon needed to get involved. Braun getting involved. It all just felt a bit... But... it was really good up until basically Vince's music hit, because Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman is amazing. There were two promos that really stood out from that perspective those last 2 days, and that was Heyman talking about Brock Lesnar, Heyman, who is given the freedom to basically do what he wants within the confines of the show, and Daniel Bryan, who is basically the same, whose back and forth with AJ had genuine animosity to it. Mm. His whole "I'm not the people's champion, I'm the planet's champion" thing, I'm absolutely loving.
Me too.
So, isn't it funny? The people that you give creative freedom to manage to come up with something creative and interesting.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that about Heyman. And I remember watching the beginning of that promo and maybe the first 5 minutes, there was actually a part of me that thought, oh, like, as magnificent as Heyman is, I don't know how many times I can just sit here and listen to "this is not a prediction, this is a spoiler" and all of that stuff. And then just when I was almost drifting, he got me again. Like, you know, he just brings me back in because he's so captivating. And when he started to talk about Finn Balor and all the differences between them, and, you know, but in fairness to Heyman, building, you know, like any good money man will do, he's building up Balor and, you know, saying how much he deserved to be there. But, of course, Brock is the guy. All of those things, you know, Heyman is just such a master of his craft. And I totally agree with Will in the sense that the people who have the most creative liberty of John Cena, whenever he gets on the mic, is the absolute same. And I don't really care what anyone, you know, for all the detractors he's had down the years, that guy is still an absolute master on the stick as well. It'd be nice if you can imagine a WWE moving forward that was like that. And I think when you look at the NXT products, Triple H certainly seems to give liberty to people too.
Guys, yeah. What do we think about the other big sort of thing that came out of Monday Night Raw, which was that Alexa Bliss will be making her comeback at the Royal Rumble? Do you think it was a good thing that that was announced, or should it have been kept a surprise?
As I tweeted from the account, I wasn't sure. I felt like it would have been a nice surprise for the Rumble. I don't really see... I mean, for the mild pop that it got on Raw... for the heel Alexa Bliss, I didn't really see the benefit of doing that ahead of time. Also, very much just crowbarred in, like, at the end of a segment where, like, you know, it just didn't really make a lot of sense to me to do it that way. Normally, in doing so, that kind of foreshadows something, but I don't anticipate that she will win it. So,
the interesting. The segment itself was an absolute mess.
Yes.
And I don't understand why I just don't understand why, when it was the women who were out there and doing that, like the women whose their division is so hot right now, they come out and do this weird mass brawl backstage thing, which I don't think they would have done with the men in the same situation. I will say it was good that there was some Rumble build on Raw, because it didn't feel like there was a huge amount on the other side, apart from, I know, Rollins and McIntyre. There was an element of that, of who's going to win in the Rumble to that match. But I did think that, this is a rarity, but I'm going to have a big old agree with Daddy Popper Dave Meltzer here and say that I totally understand from a business perspective what they're doing. They pre-announce Alexa Bliss, who's a big draw. They pre-announce Randy Orton, who for some reason still seems to draw, because it's for them about getting eyes on the product on Sunday, and it's about getting bums in seats because they're doing it in a stadium rather than an arena again, and it hasn't sold out yet because of the putting it in a stadium. So I totally get the idea behind it, but if they then, with the kind of 6 or 7 surprise entrants that they've still got left to be named, don't have 1 or 2 really good surprises in there, then it's, you kind of think, well, why did you... It makes sense if there's a big surprise still to come, if you see what I mean. So that you still get your pop of the big surprise on the night, and you still get more people watching it because they want to see the return of these two wrestlers.
Honestly,
that's the only way it works.
Honestly, do you think that there'll be people on the fence that hear Alexa Bliss has been announced and go, yeah, Like, I don't necessarily agree. She's kind of a big name. I don't necessarily agree that she's a big draw per se. I don't think it was imperative to get her announced ahead of time. Just my opinion. I don't know what that business will do for the WWE. I think how many have they named thus far? Like 20, I want to say 22 or 24, something they've named ahead of time.
I can give you the exact number if you bear with me.
Yes.
For the Women's Royal Rumble match, they have named 23. For the Men's Royal Rumble match, they've now named 20.
Right. So for the women, that obviously that leaves out the seven of where you think, okay, there's going to be a mixture of surprises and NXT, I guess. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I suppose seven, would it have made much of a difference if it was eight with Alexa Bliss? Probably not. But like you just said, they better be able to carry their weight then, because a lot of people tune into the Royal Rumble expecting the surprises. So, you know, what do they have up their sleeve? As far as women's surprises go, I think between the Royal Rumble last year, the inaugural one for the women, and Evolution, they have used up a lot of what they can bring back and, you know, what people can see for the first time. I think off the top of my head, Victoria, maybe.
There are very few legends to come back. You're not wrong. And that's not the only way you can obviously do surprises, but there aren't really any obvious examples of people who are on the injury list, etc. There's no one who you're necessarily waiting to be called up unless you potentially get a Bianca Belair win on Saturday, followed by a Shayna Baszler appearance at the Rumble. But yeah, I think we're expecting some NXT to be in there anyway. So
you'd think that most of the rest of the Rumble, in the women's side at least, will be made up with surely NXT and maybe a couple of NXT UK. Imagine that Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm would appear.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other legends that would come back. Because I think I've got a lot of them that came back at Evolution weren't that exciting in a way. I mean, I certainly wasn't overly excited by them. I was more excited about, you know, the younger people like Toni Storm doing their thing at Evolution.
With the way that women's wrestling has gone now, I am absolutely more interested in the stars of the last 5 years and going forward than I am in even seeing the really legitimately big names from the previous eras, like the Trish Stratuses and the Stratuses and the Litas, etc. I'm not, honestly, couldn't really care less about anyone else coming back. Well, Molly Holly and people like that, meh, whatever.
So they're doing the women's tag team titles at the Elimination Chamber so that the winners of that can allegedly face Trish Stratus and Lita at WrestleMania. That's the reports that have been emanating the past week. I don't know what the benefit of that would really be, but there you go.
Right,
that's a
we
thing.
Should.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Are there any more thoughts on the TV this week? I know I've got one about Aiden English's debut on 205 Live as a commentator. Perhaps maybe we'll hear from Rusev before I make that comment, because he does talk about Aiden English.
Yeah, I reckon we should let Rusev spout his Aiden English isms before we get to yours.
All right, so I spoke to Rusev yesterday. It's one of those things they do at WWE where they get a load of journalists on the line and they give you your 5 minutes and your fire questions at Rusev. So here is basically an interview with Rusev whilst 19 other journalists listen in like voyeurs. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show from somewhere backstage at SmackDown Live. It's the United States champion, Rusev. Hey, Rusev.
What's going on?
Straight off, I want to talk about your fitness regime, because over the last few years, we've seen you go from quite a big guy to half the man you used to be, pretty much. And I want to know what you've changed in your routine to achieve that. Is that something that's just been done, obviously, with the Royal Rumble and with WrestleMania coming up?
Everything is with the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania in mind. I'm trying to change my eating routine. You know, I got a nutritionist now, Jason Phillips, who is helping me with my diet, and that's all the change of the world. Because my workout has always been hard. It's just that I never knew about nutrition until I got to talk to Jason, and now we're trying to play around a little bit with the keto diet, and I think this is that my body responds really well to that, and I'm sticking with it.
Have you been tempted to try a sneaky little watch of Sheamus's Celtic Warrior workouts on YouTube?
I've been on that show. I've been on it. And we had a great time filming it, you know. And now I'm the one telling them who to invite. We work out in a gym where there's so many different characters. And I'm like, oh, I get this guy and this guy. He's like, oh, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm right. Just do it. And I told him, if you want to go and take a Zumba class together or a spinning class or whatever, I'm down. As long as we have fun and then we get to burn a couple of calories.
You need a producer credit on that. Be his guest booker. Look, in the UK, WWE has been sort of taken over. We have the NXT UK brand. We have a weekly show. We now have our own performance centre, the first performance centre outside of the US. First of all, were there any British wrestlers you grew up being inspired by? I know that obviously Hulk Hogan was a big influence for you, but how about British wrestlers?
Well, we all know, you know, the British Bulldogs. I mean, let's just get that out of the way. But at the same time, like, I didn't even know that there was any kind of, like, professional wrestling in Europe. All I knew was Hulk Hogan and WWF. That's all I knew, nothing else. And that's why I always wanted to go to America so I could train to be a WWE superstar, because I didn't even know there was wrestling in Europe. If I knew, my path would have probably began a lot earlier than when I was 20 years old, going to America. But it's just fate. It is what it is. I still made it here, but now I'm a huge fan, you know, of British wrestling. And I love Seth Finlay. He is definitely one of my favorites. He's my favorite teacher, and to work with him in the ring and outside, it's just, he had a huge influence in my career. And even now, day-to-day basis.
We heard earlier that your former partner in crime, let's say Aiden English, is going to do some commentary on 205 Live. How do you think he's going to get on?
Oh, he's great. You know, his strength has always been on the mic and his ability to speak. So I think he'll do fantastic at that commentary position.
You're currently the United States champion. You've won that title 3 times. I'd say you can keep that now. Let's look forward. Which is the next title that's in your sights?
Well, I want to go after the big one. I've only had one WWE World Heavyweight title opportunity against AJ Styles earlier this year. And this is it. For the 5 or 6 years I've been here, this is the only chance I've had. We had a good match. Unfortunately, it didn't go my way because of Aiden English. And I thought I had that match. If it wasn't for him, I would have definitely been champion now. But then again, it didn't go my way. But for the future, that's definitely a title I would like to have.
Well, Rusev, best of luck on Sunday at the Royal Rumble, and hopefully we'll see you winning that WWE title sometime.
Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The delightful Rusev there, who spoke to me in between loads of other people, and it's part of the job, which I know wrestlers find a little bit frustrating along with their travel, but seemed in good spirits. Obviously, didn't really have a lot to say about Aiden English. I know they kind of technically fell out on screen. Did either of you hear Aiden English's debut on 205 Live yet?
205 Live is the only thing I haven't really watched from this week. I haven't watched NXT UK yet either because it's on tonight, but I know it's featuring the Jordan Devlin Travis Banks match, which Al popped quite hard for, it's fair to say.
Yes.
When it happened at the time. But, you know, I've not heard it yet. Any thoughts from any who have?
I actually watched it, and there was a match. This new guy, Humberto Carrillo. He took on Gran Metalik, and they had a really good match. There was a lot of Will Ospreay's done this a lot with people in the past. The kind of lots of flippy stuff where you think they're doing a move, but they flip out of it. And it was, if you watch, go on YouTube even and watch the highlights of it. And there's a lot of that kind of, you're not going to get me, but you're also not going to get me kind of back to back stuff. But also a lot of it was very high flying and it was very entertaining. The one thing that I have to say about Aidan English, though, is when he sings, you know, he sounds good and he has that voice, but you don't hear him talk so much. When you hear him talk doing commentary, he sounds like a pitched down Kermit the Frog. Go and watch the clip on YouTube now, on WWE's YouTube, and tell me he doesn't sound like Kermit the Frog.
I can't lie.
Like, a bad day.
Do you remember when he would, when he'd sing for Rusev, but he'd also randomly rap? Like, he would chuck in these little rap
spoken word sections.
And even then I'd think, oh, I don't know.
Not too sure about that.
Oh, I don't know.
Him versus Ron Killings at WWE WrestleMania event. And by the way, the Royal Rumble event, that is still annoying me. And all the programming I've watched this week, them calling it the Royal Rumble event is still really bugging me. It wasn't so annoying last week until Will mentioned it. And now I just hear it every single time they do it.
Yep.
Why? Why are they doing it? Why does it need to be called this?
To differentiate from the other Rumbles? I really don't know. The greatest?
Because it's Vinnie Mac. Vinnie. He loves himself.
None of it really makes sense. Well, look, I think we've covered pretty much everything other than the Royal Rumble weekend now. So let's crack on. Shall we start with the NXT TakeOver?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't we with this? I was thinking about this because otherwise we're going to go insanely long. Just essentially give our predictions each for each match, but there's no need to go in too much depth about the build, etc., because we've talked about it plenty on the show already.
Okay, let's just do that. Yeah, this all takes place in Phoenix, Arizona. Is it? It's not. It's in an arena, isn't it? It's not big enough to be in a stadium. It's not going to be in the NFL stadium there.
It's in the Talking Stick Resort Arena.
Of course.
I'd love to go to that resort. It sounds great. Oh dear. Right. Let's look at the matches on this. I'm going to do it in the order I assume it's going to go in. It's probably going to start with Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno, something which has been building up ever since Matt Riddle sort of debuted. Where do we see this going?
Riddle goes over 110,000%. We've all seen these opening feuds for people's debuts a million times in WWE. And while I think Cassius Ohno has held up his end of the bargain really well, it is just a spotlight to be shined on Matt Riddle. And I expect him to comprehensively win.
When Triple H said to the Inside the Ropes guys that there are some people who will never step up from NXT, that is their level. I think he's talking about people like Cassius Ohno, who is there to do the job, who is there almost as a coach slash talent. And so yeah, this is Matt Riddle all the way, and hopefully then going into a program with Keith Lee, because that's what I want to see.
Will loves Keith Lee. Next up, NXT North American Championship, you've got Ricochet versus Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano, who turned up at Evolve this week. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, looking very comfortable.
He's just loving it, chilling. Seemed very at home at those kind of events. Where do we see this one going? I know that Will is a big Ricochet fan, but also a big Johnny Gargano fan.
I'm a Gargano guy. I don't know. This thing kind of confuses me a little bit, because I don't get why Johnny Gargano has been so in the main event picture and then is coming down to what should be the more developmental championship, really, in theory. It should be the IC equivalent. But he hasn't had a title on him, so I think Gargano might go over.
I actually still think that the culmination of the story for Gargano is to win the title, and there's going to be something. Just the way that story is manifested and all of the differences between him and Ciampa and, you know, the nature of that, I still believe, one way or another, heel turn or not, whatever his character is, eventually he will overcome Ciampa and become the champion. And for that reason, I think it would be suited to WrestleMania weekend, and I don't think he's going to win, purely on that basis.
Okay, we'll go on from there. Adam Cole's not on this, is he? I've just realised Adam Cole's not going to win the match. Because Undisputed Era versus War Raiders is Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, I believe. Although they lost the title, didn't they, before? So maybe I'm getting that wrong. But
no, it is technically still Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
Is it? Right, fine.
Now, I can see the sense in putting War Raiders over here, because I'm with Al that I think the Undisputed Era go up after Mania, but do you keep it on them with a screwy finish here and then have a rematch at TakeOver New York? Brooklyn. It'll be Brooklyn. Of course it will be. Brooklyn 5? Brooklyn 4 at this point? I don't even know. so yeah, when they do TakeOver Brooklyn, that's when you'll get them go over. So I think the Undisputed Era in a screwy finish for me.
Yeah, I actually agree with Will. I think that this isn't the one to take the titles off them. Although, you know, I wouldn't be too shocked if the WWE did put the titles on War Raiders. And then there was some, you know, kind of heat for the rematch in Brooklyn. But I think at the moment, to keep the Undisputed Era looking strong, Adam Cole's not going to sit around twiddling his thumbs. I'm assuming he'll be involved in the finish in some kind of way. And thus, we will have retaining champions.
And then obviously when Undisputed Era do go up eventually, we can have War Raiders versus the European Union, which will be decent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the European
Union. That was
Union.
My response to that.
Very
was
much.
On noise only.
Chub rating and noise rating. NXT only gets noise rating. It doesn't get chub rating. NXT Women's Championship. We touched on this before. We heard from Rusev, Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair. You think that Shayna Baszler may drop the title?
I think Bel Air fanboy Al Mack can be the only person who can possibly answer this question.
Well, everyone thought I was Bel Air fanboy until I said she wasn't as good as Charlotte Flair. And then all of a sudden, all of my Twitter said, "You hate Bel Air? You think she's rubbish?" She's being rocket strapped, for want of a better term. And the WWE clearly think huge things about Bianca Belair. And while she is still green in some areas, I feel like her program with Nikki Cross has shown that she's developing in many areas, and I do think they're going to put the title on her. She's the biggest prospect in NXT right now, and I think more than that, it's only a matter of time before Shayna Baszler is actually heading to the main roster. So I actually do think that Belair will go over, contrary to stuff that I've seen online.
All right, it's another one. I was just going to say, not dissimilar to the tag, where I could see them doing not necessarily a screwy finish, but a retain and a rematch in theory could still happen. But yeah, I think Baszler has to drop it in the next 2 months, basically. So
she does. She does. And Belair, you know, one part of her gimmick in NXT, similar to Oscar, is the undefeated moniker. So how do you preserve that without giving her the belt? That's for creative to figure out.
All right. Then finally, the NXT Championship. You've got Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black. I've been literally thinking about that ever since you first mentioned his name about 5, 10 minutes ago. Is Gargano going to get involved, is the question.
Well, and on what side? You know, like, you know, this is... I think Ciampa's been a surprisingly great champion. And I don't mean surprisingly in the sense that he can't put on a great match or, you know, his character wasn't intriguing. Just him and his adorn for the belt really pops me. I enjoy it. As far as this match goes... like you said, it's like the triangle, isn't it, of course, with Aleister Black being involved and Gargano and all of these things. Will it? You assume eventually it might culminate in the triple threat for the title. So for me, I feel like Ciampa holds on to it, but I don't know what you two guys think.
Well, it all depends, doesn't it? Like we mentioned before, The Undertaker, what an amazing final match he would have against Aleister Black, and it would make sense character-wise for him to put him over. So, you know, does Aleister Black sort of get somehow out of this? And as you then said, it goes on to a bit of a Gargano Ciampa 2 or 3 or whatever we're up to now,
yeah,
where eventually Gargano does win the title. So I would imagine Aleister Black won't win the title. I think it will stay with Ciampa.
I'm loving Ciampa's run, but I also love the tease of the DIY reunion when they did the meeting in the middle on Aleister Black recently. And so for me, this is a kind of storytelling that if whatever direction it goes in, I've kind of got to a trust point with this story, with these wrestlers and with the guys behind NXT, that I'm kind of just happy to just see how it plays out. And I think it'll go great anyway. That's me sucking up in a big time.
And obviously, will you get to watch this, Will, or will you be flying to America, as you've mentioned 7 times in this podcast?
No, I'll have landed. I don't fly until Yeah, I don't fly until Sunday morning, and with the time difference, I'll land in time for the Royal Rumble. Actually, I'm flying somewhere to watch it this year after last year's Lucha Libre bar in Minneapolis, so I need to see if there's somewhere similar in downtown ATL.
You do. Can we also, even though I won't be there, I'll be across in the next state, can we do the similar thing as we did last year where we all pick out names of people we think are going to win and have a bit of a whip round? Because I need to improve on last year because it was a bit of a poor show.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get 30 people involved via Twitter and actually do it as a listener, I don't know how we do it. Let's talk off air and figure it out and then tweet about it.
All right, that's the Saturday night done. Let's move straight on to the Sunday night. Two events, two matches that people are predicting will be on the kickoff show. Unfortunately, involves new friend of the show, Rusev, against Shinsuke Nakamura. Imagine having Shinsuke Nakamura on the kickoff show of one of the big four.
It's not hard to imagine in this day and age, unfortunately, and that's a lot of that. It should be attributed to the way the WWE have handled him. I personally think, and I mentioned this on last week's episode, I think Nakamura is on his way out. I know his contract is up this year, and I think he's just wasting away until then. So Rusev will go over. What a meteoric waste to have won it last year, and now he's on the pre-show the very next year.
Devastating. I'm gutted for both men involved because I really like Rusev as well, but I don't know. Shinsuke is, again, when we're talking about people who could move, Shinsuke seems like another one of the more obvious ones because they just haven't really figured out how to utilize him properly. This and the Cruiserweight being the pre-card ones, there's so much about wrestling right now that I'm enjoying and that I like, particularly with the SmackDown side of things. It feels like Daniel Bryan's individual influence appears to be having more of a say on that product than almost anything else, because there's a lot of belief that he is a big part of the reason why Mustafa Ali is getting a push now. But not just that, Hideo Itami, he's been talking about their matches back in Ring of Honor openly in WWE promos. Apparently he can't hear out of his left ear because of a match he had with him back in Ring of Honor in 2006. And he's like putting over all this exciting young talent, and yet we're getting these guys who we know can work hard, we know are going to put on a great match, put on the pre-card whilst we still have to have Shane McMahon involved in a main card match. So, it's the McMahon way. It's what's going to happen, but I don't like it.
I heard a rumour that Hideo Itami kicked the carnivore straight out of Daniel Bryan back in Ring of Honor. Look, so the rumours are that Buddy Murphy might get a call up to the main roster he's on the main roster, but to SmackDown or Raw, so he could drop the title here.
I mean, Itami seems like the obvious one because you've got Daniel Bryan putting him over in a promo, but his English isn't fantastic, and previously that has slowed them on why they would pull somebody into holding a title or into a main event picture. You know, Asuka's forced her own way in, but I still believe that that's a part of the reason why Shinsuke wasn't given as big a push when he moved up as he maybe should have done after winning the Rumble, like, because they just didn't like his work on the mic. So be intrigued. I thought Buddy Murphy's held it longer than I thought he would, to be honest, after winning it in Australia, because I thought he won it just because it was in Australia, but he's proved to be a really good champion.
Mm. You'd imagine that for family reasons, he may well end up on Raw, you would think, if Alexa Bliss is on Raw.
Although, maybe. Vince McMahon is historically, he doesn't always play that card, does he?
I don't know if he has as much power anymore, though, because, you know, with other options on the table, depending on what the guy's contract status is, if he does something to upset his family life, there are other places for him to say, all right, well, I'm off then, see ya.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Who knows? Look, SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Bar versus The Miz and Shane McMahon. We saw Shane McMahon take a nice bro kick to the face last night from Sheamus.
Oh, stiff.
He shared it just now and someone went, I thought wrestling was meant to be fake. I couldn't tell if they were like joking or if they just didn't get it. I'm going with the fact they just didn't get it. Is this all set up to create some kind of Miz versus Shane McMahon feud at WrestleMania?
Yes,
that's where I see it going.
Yes, 100%. I can't see any other direction for them at the moment otherwise, and the notion of them taking the titles off the Bar, and look, they might do it in like a short term thing as like a shock value and then they drop it again quickly as a part of their dysfunction. You can see me using the air quotes. But
Well, no one else can. I can.
Yeah, I'm saying you can.
I can as well. Just because my camera's not working doesn't mean yours
isn't.
Yeah,
why is
it? Like it's not like when you're a child and you cover your own eyes over and it's like, I can't see you, so you can't see me. This is, it's not a game of peekaboo, mate. Well, I can still see you both.
It is for you. I can't, you keep popping in and out.
I just keep trying to fix the camera while we're doing the show, but it's not working. God.
This is all because me and Alex are on iPhones and Will's on Samsung, even though we're not even using our phones. That's just how it works out. That's the that's the problem you get for being a Samsung knob. Do you think that... I mean, I can't see... If the bar do retain, I can't see really where they're going to go unless they have another feud against someone they've had a feud with so many times now, unless they do a superstar shake-up. So... What I would love to see is I would love to see the bar implode slightly as well and them to go on a bit of a singles run. Well, say them, Cesaro mainly.
Yeah, I totally concur with that. But I, for some reason, I think that Shane and Miz... I mean, if they were to lose this match and then splinter off and have their problems already, is that too much time before WrestleMania? Probably. So actually, it might make sense if they did win the titles and they hold them for a little bit before dropping them and then their problems arise.
Drop them at Elimination Chamber and have a big old spat about it.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan. SmackDown Women's Championship then. Asuka versus Becky Lynch. Where's that going? Are we still thinking that Becky Lynch will... Is she going to face Nia Jax at WrestleMania? Is that still going to happen?
No.
Ugh. What I desperately want, and we've fantasy booked this plenty, and this was a big rumour a while back and seems to have cooled down, is that Becky loses because Ronda screws her or Charlotte screws her. But ideally, I'd like to see Ronda get involved in that match. And then Becky gets inserted into the Rumble as one of the surprise entrants, wins it, challenges Ronda. That's the WrestleMania main event even, but certainly a match we get at Mania.
I think that story, no matter how much the fans could be telegraphed what's going to happen there, it needs to happen. Like, the anticipation, although a lot of people will be able to predict that Becky might be a surprise entrant, but the pop would still be there, like, for her to get in there and, you know...
How amazing would it be if she entered at 29, because they've already told us who's entering at 30, to the massive, massive pop... And then, like, the ante of what happened when Daniel Bryan didn't come in at 30. But then you've still got to have Carmella, who we all know I love, but coming in after Becky Lynch.
Yeah. Just
like, they've painted themselves into such a corner with these comedy number 30 entrants.
Was that like when poor Rey Mysterio came in at number 30 one year? And they were like, well, where's Daniel Bryan? And it was like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Exactly.
I'm going to make a prediction now that... Carmella's going to come in, she's going to do a dance break in the middle of the Royal Rumble, and then everyone is going to batter her and throw her out straight away.
Batter her.
Literally, she ain't going to wrestle. She's going to get in the center, dance break, however many, 8 people, chuck her over the top, get out.
Sling your hook.
That's where I'm going with that. It seems to make sense to go on to Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks then for the Royal Women's Championship.
Sasha, huh?
I'm upper class, mate.
Yes.
I'm not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we touched on this earlier. There's no way Rousey's dropping it. There's obviously conceivable that maybe Becky costs her because Ronda costs Becky at TLC. So, you know, it's conceivable that Becky could come out in the match and get involved. But then that would make no sense, because then how do you set up the date for Ronda and Becky at WrestleMania with no title on the line with Ronda? So I think Sasha's just been put on this spot because she's probably the biggest name under Rousey on Raw, arguably. You know, Bliss and Bayley and whatnot are snapping at the heels, but you could argue it's Sasha. And I think that she's just there for another name on Rousey's list, really.
Are we saying at WrestleMania then, if Ronda Rousey does somehow end up facing Becky Lynch, that it could be Asuka versus Charlotte Flair 2?
Well, it's a story to tell, isn't it? With the
and then match of the year last time. So.
Yeah, I thought it was the best. Well, we were all at Mania last year, and I made it quite clear. I thought that was the best match on the card, and the story is very easy one to tell. That Asuka needs to right the wrong that Charlotte broke her streak at WrestleMania, sent her on a tumble. So yeah, for sure. That wouldn't be like a underwhelming match to be made at all.
Okay, I could watch that. I'll be up for that. WWE Championship then. The new Daniel Bryan, who has been, I don't want to say the saviour of WWE's televised product in the last few weeks along with Becky, but he certainly had a big hand in it in the way that, as you've said, Will, he's been allowed the creative freedom to just sort of go with this new character and totally run with it. He takes on AJ Styles. Is AJ Styles winning back that championship? I think it would be a mistake for Brian to drop it so soon.
I think you'd be go on, Will.
No, Al, you go on.
I think it'd be a mistake even for AJ to get it again, because his last run, for me, was pretty stale until his interactions with Brian. And you say that, and he had great opponents in Samoa Joe, in Shinsuke Nakamura. Even Nakamura's heel turn was very intriguing to me. And yet, it just felt like, whether the WWE wasn't spotlighting the title enough on pay-per-views or not, irregardless, it just didn't really pop. His first reign was much hotter. For Brian, I feel like, you know, they always talk about what, you know, the man makes the title or the title makes the man. But right now, him holding that belt and everything he symbolises about his character, it just makes total sense. It's fantastic to watch. Adds so much credence to what he says. I want it to stay on Brian, and I think he will. I mean, I think you said earlier, John, that AJ might be heading for a date with Randall on the grandest stage.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The rumour is AJ Styles against Randy Orton at Mania, with Randy Orton almost as like a classic heel faction management proxy, where he is stepping in for Vince, because after AJ Styles loses to Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble, the whole Vince AJ angle continues, and he uses Randy Orton as like the blunt instrument with which to get the best out of AJ Styles. My problem is whilst those two are obviously great workers and could put on a great match, we'd have had three manias of Styles where he has faced Shane McMahon, where he would have faced a tag match, which was not about him. And yeah, I just don't like it. Don't like it.
He had Jericho. And I actually think the Shane McMahon match over-delivered on what people thought. But I totally agree.
Oh, was it the opener?
It was the opener to 33, yeah.
Yeah, and it was great. But it still wasn't, you know, you've got someone who has probably only got a couple of years left.
Yeah,
get the dream matches on the go.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the best use of AJ Styles. I think we can all agree with that. But in Vince's mind, he's probably looking at 14-time world champion Randy Orton and thinking, him and AJ Styles is a bit of a dream match in his mind.
He's getting old, though, isn't he? So, take his opinion. Well, I don't know. All right, Universal Championship then. The main event, other than the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor, which is, I mean, everyone just isn't really talking about who's going to win. They're just fixated on whether Finn Balor will be the demon or not.
He's not.
He's already said he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
He said it yesterday.
Yeah, but what I mean is that no one's actually talked about who's going to win. It's just they've been focused on that so much.
That's because Brock's going to win.
Well, all right. That's what I'm saying. I'm assuming they're just doing, as Alex said, a 10,000-to-1 shot that Finn Balor will win.
Yeah, I think it is just, it's great that we get to see Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar and all of these things, but it really is, we all know that Brock's going to be holding it till Mania. I'm not, you know, apparently Triple H has lobbied for Seth Rollins to be the guy to dethrone Lesnar at WrestleMania. Balor, apparently the reason he's not going to be the demon is because Vince McMahon wants to protect the demon character. So
yeah, and not have him lose. That was exactly my thought on it, which is why you don't do the demon.
Exactly.
I think the big problem that we have with the Royal Rumble in general, other than what are the quality of the Rumble matches going to be, because that is obviously, you know, those on an event called Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble event. If the Royal Rumbles aren't good, then everything else around it isn't necessarily going to get, you're not going to remember it. And it was two great Rumbles last year. They have painted themselves into the corner by having Banks Rousey, where we are pretty sure, like 99.9% who's winning that. We're 99.9% who's winning this as well. So you've got two Raw title matches for, in theory, the bigger brand, the bigger titles on paper, where they have to really make sure that those two underdogs, the hope spots, really, really work, that we are genuinely convinced that they might pull off a surprise.
Yeah.
I can imagine the way Brock worked with Daniel Bryan back at Survivor Series, that's exactly the same sort of match I can imagine, where Finn gets battered about early, has a big comeback, has a couple of hopes, and then Brock ends up getting the win. That's, I think it's going to be exactly the same sort of format. But if you tell the story well and you pull off a good 15-20 minute match, then I've got no problem with that.
I agree.
Interesting to see where Finn Balor goes after this, because obviously he's had this sort of amazing push in the last couple of months. Where does he go after, assuming he loses this one? I don't know if you guys have any thoughts.
I mean, the Intercontinental title picture is probably the next step for him. He hasn't actually had a belt on the main roster, so it'd be nice if he got that moment. I don't see Bobby Lashley being a long reigning champion, so probably he enters that picture again, because the main event title picture isn't there for him, and there's no immediate feud on Raw either that I think people are clamouring to see. So unless there's a call-up that I can't foresee, I think he's destined to go for the IC belt.
And of course, he did hold the Universal title, but he never defended it.
That's true. My apologies. He's won that,
just
but nothing else.
I'm just saving your ass from someone tweeting.
Yeah.
Fine. All right, cool. So look, 30 Women Royal Rumble. We've kind of discussed who could win it. Charlotte Flair, probably. Should we just pick who we think might be surprise entrants? I mean, we've kind of touched on it for the women's one, haven't we? So there's no probably any point. It's probably just
I think for both of them, we pick our winner and we pick our dark horse.
Okay.
And our surprise entrant from the past.
If you've got any in mind, I really don't.
I do.
I've got Victoria as my surprise entrant from the past, just because she wasn't involved in anything last year. And I think she's tweeted out that this is her final year in ring. So I'm assuming this will be the last chance for WWE to give her something. My winner is Becky. And my dark horse is Ember Moon.
Ooh, I like it.
I like what you did there. I like what you did there. Will?
I'm going to take Becky as well, although I think Charlotte Flair is never a dark horse, but is the other obvious option. It is a top-heavy division, even though it's a very strong division, it's really getting a lot of carry at the moment. That's why it's so desperate for the tag titles to give some of those women in the mid-card something worthwhile to do with their time while the top four, five, six of them battle it out. From the past, I mean, could we see a Bella get involved? Maybe something like that. I don't, you know, there's nothing out there that makes me go, that's one person I'd really like to see involved. There's no one that screams out to me. I think it's just give it to Becky. Just give her the moment. I know the Women's Rumble finished it last year, but imagine going off air with Becky Stone Cold style, winning the Rumble and calling out Rousey, and it would be beautiful.
She's the hottest star in the business by a mile, so just give the fans what they want, I think.
I mean, I feel a bit silly now, but I'm just going to go for Charlotte Flair, just so that if it does happen, I can sort of, you know,
lord it over us.
Exactly, pretty much it. And in terms of someone I think they'll bring back, I'm just going to take a wild stab in the dark and say Molly Holly.
Again,
probably though.
Why not?
Yeah.
But Men's Royal Rumble. Personally, for me, I don't see it going to anyone other than Seth Rollins. Dark horse, I guess, is Drew McIntyre for me. But you think it's going to be Seth Rollins? In terms of someone coming back, I would love to see Gangrel.
Yeah, I knew you wanted to be Gangrel.
Why are you always so obsessed Gangrel. With Gangrel at the moment?
Yeah. What's always I thought Gangrel about him earlier you? When you mentioned the Brood. I'm now thinking, oh, I'd love to see Gangrel come back one more time. You see, he probably doesn't look the same anymore.
No,
he probably. If you ever quickly sort of side note, I saw the other day. If you ever want to look at a wrestler that does not look how they used to, look at Bull Buchanan.
Really?
He's now an okay. actual police officer, and he just looks like a bloke who's worked in an office all his life. He looks miserable.
He looks jaded.
Anyway, Alex, who's going to win? Who's your dark horse and who's your surprise entrant?
Now, I'm with you in the sense that it's got to be Seth Rollins. I think it's just been built that way. Obviously, the main three are Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre alongside him, but I do think it'll be Rollins. My dark horse, I actually think Andrade is going to get a long run in the Rumble. The bookies odds have been, he was third favourite as of last week. Would you believe? Although he's dropped to 16-1 now. For a return, I would maybe like a Rob Van Dam or a Batista if they were to kick off any kind of angle for Mania. I don't know whether Triple H is going to be able to make Batista, but yeah, I'd like to see either of them two.
Will, you shook Triple H's hand less than 3 weeks ago.
Hang on, Trips' hand.
Yeah,
you grazed
please,
Trips'
guys.
Hand with yours. How was he? Did he give it a pull? Or was it his left? I think it was his left, wasn't it, after all that?
What was... have
he's,
I missed
he's
something?
Injured his left side, isn't he?
Oh, right. Yeah, maybe. There okay. we go.
Forget it. Text him and ask him. You yeah. got his number.
I'll drop him a line. Trips, what's up? Right, here's my hot Men's Royal Rumble prediction.
Oh, it's hot.
Seth Rollins doesn't win it. Someone from SmackDown wins it.
What?
Because Seth Rollins going up against Brock Lesnar is a very, very easy story to tell without Seth Rollins winning the Royal Rumble. SmackDown, after, and I thought about talking about this earlier, but I didn't really, I thought I'd save it for the Rumble. AJ Styles, if he's going to go up against Randy Orton, and we've got that kind of Vince McMahon storyline set up there, what is next for Daniel Bryan after this weekend? There's no obvious step into the breach and go, so I think Samoa Joe wins the Royal Rumble.
I knew you were going there.
Out of nowhere. That's my pick.
I love Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe against Daniel Bryan at Mania. And if you want, throw AJ in for a bit of triple threat action. But that's the match I want to see, so I'm going for it.
All right, then. And who do you have any name that might make appearance from the past?
Let's have Big Shawn Michaels in. Let's ahead of
what,
his...
Big Shawn Michaels, who's actively said he doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah, exactly.
Forcing him in.
Exactly. If he can help it, he says. So
he can help it. They've got more than 30 superstars. They don't
of course, and that's the point. He can help it, but he doesn't.
Absolutely ridiculous. I think that's pretty much it. If you would like to send your predictions to us, at Pro Wrestle Show is our Twitter. You can just DM Will Gavin if you want to feel like you're big time. Or... why have I said that? Let's cut that off.
You can DM me. My Instagram. No, I'm leaving it in. My Instagram DMs are open. So if anyone wants to hit me up at Will Gav on Instagram, I leave those open because I have less weirdos following me on there. So I'm more than happy to interact with people
if
on there.
If you're a weirdo, please follow Will
Gavin
on every social
media. People who listen to this show aren't weirdos. Trust me, the people who listen to radio at 3 a.m, some of them are oddballs.
I actually just got Instagram this week because I am like the behind the times ridiculously.
I knew the youngest of us by a good 6 years as well.
Yeah, but I'm going to look for you two now. I'm going to follow
you. While he does that,
followed us yet? Unbelievable.
No. I had it for like 3 days.
Like when Raw goes off the air and it fades down while something's going on, we're going to fade down this podcast while Alex tries to find me and Will on there.
I've done it. There's Big Johnners.
Great. At Pro Wrestle Show is our Twitter. You find us on Instagram as well. Let us know your Royal Rumble predictions and we will react to the Royal Rumble after the Royal Rumble, unbelievably. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show. I've been John Jackson.
Willie Gavin.
And I'm Al Mack.
And Al's naked.
I've seen way too much of that man's nipples over the last hour and a half.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.